Good morning, everyone. I'm live in Boston at WGBH, our partner station up in Boston. And we begin with China this morning. If there is a trade battle between the U.S. and China, just take a look at the trade deficit. China seems to be clearly winning. Listen to President Obama during his State of the Union address last month.
And I will not stand by when our competitors don't play by the rules. We've brought trade cases against China at nearly twice the rate as the last administration, and it's made a difference.
Has it made a difference? Here's that theme restated by Vice President Joe Biden meeting his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping in Washington yesterday.
But competition can only be mutually beneficial if the rules of the game are understood, agreed upon, and followed.
The grievances against China from the U.S. perspective involve everything from currency manipulation to intellectual property rights to out-and-out software piracy. What are these rules, and how are they being broken? And in this environment when technology is moving the goalposts in the whole IP game, is it changing, regardless of this argument between Washington and Beijing? Joining us right here in our WGBH studios is William Alford, professor at Harvard Law School. He's an expert on Chinese law and intellectual property. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, John. Delighted to be here.
So there's two things going on here. One, China is sort of catching up to a set of rules that were made, you know, a century ago, really, and they're writing them into their own sort of practices in China. But at the same time, there's a transformation going on in IP, and China is working to take advantage of that for its own benefit. How do you see what's going on?
Well, I think the biggest challenge, John, is that the laws in China, which are generally up to world standard, are still a work in progress in terms of implementation.
And does that mean that the U.S. has actually a role in getting them crafted in a way that we think protects our intellectual property for foreign subsidiaries that are working over in China?
Well, I think there is a role for foreign involvement and some foreign pressure on the Chinese. For example, China last year tried to foster an indigenous innovation policy that would have required foreign companies to yield more of their high-level technology in order to sell to the Chinese government. But I think the biggest drivers are really going to be internal change in China. Until Chinese entrepreneurs, Chinese business people have more of their own high-value IP to push for protection for, we're not going to see profound change.
So it's when Chinese entrepreneurs feel ripped off by their counterparts in China taking their intellectual property, that's going to be the real driver. What's going on with the U.S., what Joe Biden says, what President Obama says is really not necessarily going to make much difference.
Well, I think it's important that our senior political leaders do make it clear consistently to the Chinese that we take these issues very seriously. But I think the kind of profound transformation that we would like to see really will be principally domestically driven in China, better institutions in China, more support for these laws by Chinese entrepreneurs.
Let's listen to the voice of Chinese Vice President Xi Jinping, who was speaking through an interpreter yesterday during his public appearance with the Vice President Joe Biden. He says his nation is working to make reforms.
Concerning trade imbalance, IPR protection, indigenous innovation, and investment environment, the Chinese side has taken steps to address them and will continue to do so.
Now, does that echo, Bill Alford, what you just said, IPR protection, trade imbalance, indigenous innovation? These are the things that they're working on?
Well, I think the Chinese government is taking steps. As I say, the formal legal framework in place largely meets global standards, but I think more needs to be done in terms of enforcement. And so I think as China liberalizes, it will improve the enforcement picture. My own view is China's institutions, such as its courts, are very much still a work in progress. It would be naive to think that they fully can effectuate all formal legal protections. So I think a consistent message from the U.S. about the importance of improving IP protection and rights, human rights protection, is quite significant.
We'll talk about human rights in just a second. One of your books is entitled To Steal a Book is an Elegant Offense. Now, that seems to try to capture a sense of, shall we say, lack of seriousness about enforcing intellectual property rights in China?
Well, the thrust of that book is that historically, the idea of intellectual property was not an indigenous Chinese idea, but something that generated in the West and came to China, and that efforts over a long period of time to use foreign pressure as the principal driver to get the Chinese to adopt better IP wasn't very effective. And you can just trace this over a vast period of time, including several U.S. administrations. And so I think it's really more internal changes in China that are going to be the most consequential factor in promoting better IP protection.
But I'm wondering if China defaults to its pre-existing sort of cultural approach to intellectual property in a technological age where you can download everything, where you can share files, where intellectual property protections are difficult to execute because of the technological environment we live in, and that essentially the whole world is becoming more along the lines of the Chinese approach rather than the old American and Western sort of everything's copyrighted approach.
Well, a couple things. First is, as you rightly note, much in the IP world is up for grabs now, and there's lots of contestation, even in our country, about what the proper limits are between fostering protection for innovation and cultivating a public space. But I wouldn't push – I think the cultural argument's significant, but I wouldn't push it too far, John. So, for example, Taiwan, which is culturally Chinese by and large, improved its IP law significantly.
So there's an example right there. All right, before we go, you described Chinese law as a work in progress. Is that a hindrance to the developing of acceptable human rights laws, even for people like the disabled inside of China attempting to establish their own rights in that country in a time of extraordinary transformation?
So thanks. I tend to think that rights issues are all interwoven. And so the kinds of institutions that would be more supportive of protecting intellectual property rights are also the kind that will be protecting more basic human rights. And again, it's a work in progress. One can see things on the ground in China today that one could not have seen 15 years ago in terms of some efforts to push back against discrimination with regard to disability and other rights issues. But it's still a long ways to go.
A work in progress that we should tolerate or that we should actively push against?
So I think it takes a combination of different approaches. It takes an appropriate way of engaging the Chinese publicly. It takes people working on the ground in ways that are not so visible and so glamorous. I think it takes supporting Chinese who come to this country to study,
and all that,
broaden their horizon, indeed, and so forth.
William Alford talking about Chinese intellectual property and the legal system in China as a work in progress. He's a professor at the Harvard Law School, joined us live in our WGBH studios. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, John.